This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The best and most secure way to conduct elections, paper ballots. Because the way that I say it, kind of half joking, Russia can't hack a piece of paper.
The most secure way to vote? Paper. You're right. And this is great. Now, it would be great if the Republican leader would put these bills on the floor for a vote.
Well, there's some wise policy decisions. This is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry, who very, very last minute had to cancel because of some migraine issues. So we're stepping up today. Hans von Spakovsky joins us every Thursday at this time. He's a senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation. Hans, thanks for being here.
Sure, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So I led with that clip of Kamala Harris on three different instances saying the same thing about supporting paper ballots. That was all before 2020, though. I don't know what changed in 2020 that she doesn't really have that position anymore. But you wrote the book on it, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. I wanted to start there, Hans, because we got a big election coming up, and a lot of people are just concerned about the integrity of their vote. How do you feel going into November?
Well, I tell you, I feel better than I did going into 2020 because a number of states improved their election process, passing good reforms. Missouri actually was one of them. But that didn't happen all over the country. You know, places like California, New York are some of the worst states in the country. Michigan, as you know, is a big battleground state. They made things a lot worse by doing things like gutting their voter ID law so that you no longer have to show a real ID to vote there. You could just sign a form saying, yeah, I'm really Annie Fry, so you need to let me vote. So really, it depends on what state you're in. Overall, we're probably in better shape, but we're not perfect, and there's still problems in a lot of areas.
Hans, this isn't a problem that just started 4 years ago. Having integrity in elections, as we just played the clip from Kamala Harris, this is something that Democrats have been talking about for years, too. So for whatever reason, they've decided now, though, well, Trump said it, so now I'm against it.
No, that is true, very much so. You know, what's so weird about this is that, look, if you go back to 2005, at that time, there was actually a great report on reforms issued by Jimmy Carter, right? Former Democratic president, and James Baker, former Republican Secretary of State under Reagan. And it had all these great reforms, bipartisan, people agreed on, like requiring an ID to vote. And then since then, it has become such a partisan issue with Democrats totally not only backing away from those kind of good reforms, but actually now being against things like voter ID. By the way, Kamala Harris, you know, she's on numerous occasions said that requiring an ID is discriminatory and suppression. But you probably saw that in a recent rally she had in Arizona. Guess what you needed to get into the rally? A photo ID.
Well, that's discriminatory, though. They don't want some people in there, I guess, in their rallies. Hans, let me ask you this, and it's a little bit in the weeds, but I think it's a question that's worth diving into. When we talk about paper ballots, whether it's Kamala Harris talking about it or it's Donald Trump or anybody else saying, yeah, paper ballots are the way to go. Why is it that's the sticking point? Like, what is it about paper ballots that makes them so much better than any other way of voting?
Well, what folks are worried about is the electronic voting machines that are used in some places. For example, Georgia. In Georgia, if you walk into a polling place, all they have are electronic voting machines that work kind of like ATM screens, the kind you get your money out of the bank. Well, folks are worried about them being hacked, about viruses being put into them. I would agree that using paper ballots is probably the best way to vote, as long as you're not talking about hand counting them. If you're talking about the kind of system that most places now have of using what's called an OptiScan paper ballot, in other words, yeah, you fill out a paper ballot, but then it's counted by a computer scanner, that's the best way for conducting election, because that way you have an audit trail. Yeah, you got a computer scanning, totaling it up, but if there's any questions about the outcome, yeah, then you can always hand count the ballots. But folks who want to go to completely hand counting, one, that is impractical. Can you imagine trying to do that in a big city like New York or Los Angeles, where you have millions of votes being cast? And second, the more people handling a paper ballot, the greater the chance that someone can engage in fraud. So hand counting, that's not a good idea. Paper ballots with a good audit trail, that is a good idea.
I'm glad you made that distinction, because that's actually one of the reasons I asked the question. You kind of hear people going to both extremes, and the answer is in the middle, because you still have to have an election, and you want to count the ballots quickly. If you hand count right. them, it takes a long, long time, and then you're opening up the opportunity for more fraud there too, like you said.
Yep. No, that is unfortunately very true. Now, one thing that people need to remember, and you would think Kamala Harris would know this, but you know that there's actually a federal law in play. Even in places where they want to only have paper ballots, there's a federal law in place passed in 2002 that requires at least one voting machine in every polling place that can be used by people who are disabled, but particularly people who are blind. Blind individuals cannot vote using a paper ballot. They have to have an electronic machine that's got a, you know, an auditory narrator showing you through. So even if we want to make this switch, currently under federal law, at least every polling place in the country is still going to have at least one electronic voting machine.
It's true. And the Freedom to Vote Act would have done a lot more than just that. That was one that I keep a little piece of paper around all the time, because I want to remember what Democrats were trying to do to federal elections in 2021. Hans, I didn't even intend to go there with you, but real quick, the Freedom to Vote Act was one or two votes away from getting rid of the filibuster and changing elections the way that we know them forever in 2021. Do you remember some of the specifics of that act?
Yeah, it was an 800-page monstrosity, and it basically would have taken over the running of elections from the states, and it did things like it said no state can have a voter ID law. I mean, it literally banned voter ID laws in all the states, required same-day voter registration, automatic voter registration, and a whole series of other changes that would have, boy, you think we're worried about the security of elections now? If that federal bill had passed, the Democrats were pushing, we would be in much worse shape today.
Well, and it will pass if Kamala Harris wins and they take back the Senate. That will be the way elections go. I hate to say it, but it sounds like fear-mongering, but it's literally based on things they already have drawn up. So it's really not.
That's right.
That's what they're going to do. Hans von Spakovsky on the phone with a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I'm glad that we talked about that. I did want to talk a little bit about what Trump is trying to get done today. It's been in the news that he is trying to delay the sentencing that he's supposed to receive until after the election in Manhattan. What is his logic for trying to do that? And then will it be successful?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That obviously ought to be done, and the judge ought to grant it to avoid interfering with the election process. But it won't be granted by this judge because this has got to be one of the most biased judges in the country. He should not have never been on the case. He refused to recuse himself despite the fact that he has violated judicial ethics rules in New York by actually making a contribution to the Biden campaign. His daughter is in the business of making money as a political consultant for Democrats off of that. He's got to be, like I said, one of those unethical lawyer judges in the country. And his rulings in the case were also always against Trump, always in favor of the prosecution. So Donald Trump, no matter how right he is on this issue, is not going to get a good decision from this judge.
So, Hans, what is going to happen then? What's the date of the sentencing as it is now? And then what are the possible outcomes?
Well, it's in mid-September, and I think this judge, given his unbelievable partisan bias, will sentence Donald Trump to jail. And Trump is going to have to immediately file an appeal asking that that be stayed while his appeal is pending.
Oh, gosh, that's amazing. Since we just Isn't have... Yo, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's astonishing. It's like the state of New York is the U.S. version of Venezuela.
Yeah, I mean, no argument. When you try to put political candidates in jail on things that have never been. I mean, I think I've heard you talking to Annie before and maybe some others right. Say this is something that's never been used. It's not as if this is a law and you go, well, you did break it. Maybe we're going a little tough on you because you're our political opponent. This is a law that didn't exist before they made it up to use it against him in this extreme fashion.
No, that is exactly the situation. And it was a biased political prosecutor and a biased political judge that put this in place.
Well, Hans, I am glad to be able to talk to you this week, and I get to listen to you every week here on the Annie Fry Show. I always appreciate your legal insights. Thanks for your time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.